Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to an unexpected podcast. I'm Ez.
And I'm Lane.
And tonight, we've got a moment in Middle Earth brought to you by myself. Little old me over here bringing you a mem. What's up, you know?
Yeah.
So
let's go, baby.
Let's go.
Me bringing you a mem is kind of like a meme, sort of.
It kind of is. About it. Yeah.
But not the same thing.
Not
actually
even
the opposite.
There's
but
actually
it sounds like it.
Yeah, there's nothing funny about what we're about to get into here.
Oh, okay? Boy. Oh, this, Lord. Okay.
Actually, I want to go ahead and say, get your serious caps on, and we're going to get like right after.
Let me grab something real quick.
Grab
you keep
it.
Talking.
Come on now,
this
son.
This is for the video.
This is for the video version here. Oh, yeah. This is going to be good. This is going to be good. I was going to ask Lane how he's doing, but we don't even have time for that because this is such a – it's on another level, friends. So you guys that are listening, I need you to strap in, and I need you to – we're going to take you to church. We're going to start drinking God's water. All right, we're going to drink. I mean, it's just straight up. Oh, there he
drinking
is.
Drinking that clean syrup.
Here he is. There he is. He's back. He's back on the. Hold on. Let me get a picture of this. Hold on. This is for the socials here.
We're drinking that clean syrup, baby.
Come on now. This is. Hey, by faith. All right. Yeah, walk by faith, not by sight.
Not by sight.
Not by sight, but by faith, baby.
By faith alone.
This
praise God.
Okay. Now, all right. This is perfect because the setup for this is unreal. We're just going to dive right into it. So, yay, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear.
Wow, which book are we reading here? Okay,
I will
fear.
Okay. Listen now. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me. Amen.
Wow.
All right. You didn't think I was going to start
depends
with
on
that.
What I was just thinking, it depends on what kind of stuff you're into for that rod and staff to comfort you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I guess some people would find that pretty nice.
Well, I must say, we're going to need it. We're going to need it to where we're going here. So this mem started earlier. I said, I looked at Lottie. I said, give me a number between. I said one or two. Pick one or two. She said two. All right. I said, so all right. Now pick me a number 1 through 10. And she said 4. All right. Mm-hmm. So I flipped to the second book of the Lord of the Rings series. All right.
Wait, did you do one of those little things, those little dream catcher things, or what are they called?
Yeah, yeah. what are those things?
Not dream catchers.
Called?
Hey, you know what I just realized? I just realized I'm flying blind right now, just like another Han Solo.
Wow.
Fresh out of carbonite, baby. Like, come on. But what are those things called? The decision makers, the voodoo. What are those called?
I don't know. The chance.
The cootie catcher. Cootie catcher.
Yeah. Is that what they are? I don't
know.
The
they're
little mouth
catchers.
Thing that you, you
yeah,
know,
boy.
You did flaps. When you were picking, you were talking to your girlfriend in fourth grade. All right. Anyway, so we looked at, we got in here. So we got in the second book. And then I said, okay. She said then, you know, number four. So the fourth chapter is a journey through the dark.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my. Son, let me tell you. Hold on. I need you to be prepared for this.
My Lord. It's because, dark. I mean, it is dark. I should turn off all the lights, too, honestly. I might do
that. Yeah. For sure. Now, before we go through this journey of dark, I want you to recall something. I almost forgot about this on the reread, but we had the, what is it called? Cordial? Mm-hmm. Cordial? The cordial in Ladris, right? Mm. It's the, what's it called? It's the drink. It's God's water.
That's water. That's right. Yes.
Yeah, that Gandalf starts passing it around, man. He starts passing it around.
What is that? Doesn't it have another name too? I think it does.
Miravor?
That's right, baby.
Something like that.
Because I remember way back when, didn't we talk about like someone should produce this?
Mm-hmm.
Someone should like bottle it, and like I think Travis out there in Oregon should get weird on it. Like just
amen.
Absolutely, make some Miravor.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
Man, and so Gandalf's awesome. Got this on their way. All right, so just for context, as we're leading into this, like the Fellowship has left Rivendell, gone through some hardships, been up on the mountain, and then been brought low. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
This is the very beginning of that chapter, A Journey Through the Dark. It's chapter 4, book 2. And I'm just going to get... So here's... Okay. There was the Council of Elrond, right? We had that council. And I would say, so it's... That council is like kind of full of debate, guidance, wisdom, all from a place of comfort, by the way. Rivendell is a comfortable place, correct?
The last homely house. Yes.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
So now here we are in a journey through dark, and I forgot this, and this is why we do the moments in Middle-earth is because we're going to slow down and hit a moment here. It was evening, and the gray light was again waning fast when they halted for the night. This is right out the gate chapter. Yeah.
Hold on a minute.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I'm just thinking, like, because I don't know if it's because my sense of vision is gone that I'm hearing things I never heard before.
Yeah.
Very like a Marvel character or something. Daredevil, in fact.
Yeah.
But the gray light was fading. Was fading or waning?
You said. Was fading. Waning fast.
Same thing. Yeah, right. Fading and waning are the same. I always forget that. Waxing is getting bigger. Which character is about to be transfigured?
You know where we're going.
Dang,
the gray
dude.
Light was
Gosh.
Again waning
Dang.
Fast. So now this is this is interesting. That light is fading, right? When they called for they're halting for the night.
Yes.
They were weary. The mountains were veiled in a deepening dusk, and the wind was cold. Gandalf spared them one more mouthful of the God's water from Rivendell.
Yep.
All right?
Yep.
And then it says, when they had eaten some food, he called a council. All right?
Oh, my gosh. So, the Dark Council.
Hold on a second. This is not Elrond's council. This is Gandalf's council. All right? So now Gandalf is calling a council on the fly, not in comfort, but on the road. Okay? So in the midst of early trials and tribulations, we've started the journey, and he's saying, this hasn't been easy, and it's not going to get easier. What we're going to go on to see here is that it actually needs to get a whole lot harder if we want to be successful. And the gist of where we're going to go with the beginning of this is, are you willing to journey into the dark as the gray light is fading? So it's,
right, because this is a flip-flop from the movies, too, right? Where Gandalf was hell-bent on taking the Pass of Carathras, and it was, everyone else who was saying, let's turn back. But in the books, it's Gandalf
he wants to go.
Aragorn wanted to take the pass,
right?
But it was Gandalf who was like, we got to go through Moria.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Which makes it, honestly, when we know the full breadth of his journey, it makes it even more epic, because he knew. He knew he could be tested there.
Just,
and it's like, nah, I want to go, baby. I want to go level up.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yeah. I mean, this is...
Wow.
This is a big deal. So this is his council. He called a council, and this is what they're going to talk about.
Council of Short Round.
Right.
Yeah.
He says...
Elrond and Short Round.
He says, we cannot, of course, go on again tonight. The attack at the Redhorn Gate has tired us out, and we must rest here for a while. Now, Frodo says, and then where are we to go? All right, here we go. Gandalf answers, we still have our journey and our errand before us. We have no choice but to go on or to to return to Rivendell. Okay. So he gives him a choice. There's a choice here, right? And you can either go on or return to Rivendell. Pippin's face then brightens, and he's sort of like,
Of course.
the mere mention of Rivendell, he's like, hold up. Are we going back? Like, it was just joy to his ears. Merry and Sam looked up hopefully as well, but Aragorn and Boromir made no sign, and Frodo looked troubled. He looked troubled.
Oh, let's go, right? Man. Let's go.
Well, I mean, we're in an actual council, and the Council of Elrond is so big, so grandiose that I just love that Gandalf stops for a second here and says, "Are you actually?" Who in this fellowship now is willing to go forward, right? This is it. You're in or you're out. Exactly. So let's see. I wish I was back there, he said, but how can I return without shame unless there is indeed no other way and we are already defeated? I believe it's Frodo.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, I wish I were back there, but how can I return there without shame unless there is indeed no other way? This is where the council of Gandalf is going to talk about what we've got to do. And I think what I'm going to do is sort of relate a lot of this to like my life. I mean, Lane's going to probably everyone I think can make connections to this and sort of see what Gandalf is doing here. So he says, you're right, Frodo. To go back is to admit defeat and face worse defeat to come. If we go back now, then the ring must remain there and we shall not be able to set out again. Then sooner or later, Rivendell will be besieged, and after a brief and bitter time, it will be destroyed. The Ringwraiths are deadly enemies, but they are only shadows yet of the power and terror they will possess if the ruling ring was on their master's hand again. So essentially, there is no turning back. And it's like, have you been in that situation before? Have you been in a situation where there is no turning back? And that's where they are. That's exactly where we're at here. So Frodo says, so then we must go on if there is a way, he said with a sigh. And then the rest of them kind of sink back into gloom. Now,
isn't it beautiful too how they, sorry, real quick, how they, like, we always think of Gandalf is the head of the fellowship. Aragorn is the head of the fellowship.
Yeah.
It's Frodo. Frodo is the ring bearer. He's the one who, as long as he's able to understand what the heck's going on, he's the one who makes the call. Like, especially in the book, I feel like we get that a little bit more than the films necessarily. But like this happens more than once, where it's like, Frodo, what are we doing? What's your decision? You know, this is your burden to bear. How can we help support you and help you? You know, achieve the quest.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Wow. Now, okay. Exactly, dude. So Gandalf is council. He's just calling the council, and they've got to decide. The fellowship has to decide. As you say, Frodo has to make these decisions. He says this: there is a way that we may attempt. I thought from the beginning when I first considered this journey that we should try it, but it is not a pleasant way, and I have not spoken of it to the company before. So, okay, sometimes, right, when you start a journey, we kind of know from the beginning it's going to have to get worse before it gets better. Yeah, I mean, right? So like, just depending on what that thing is or what it is you're trying to gain or grind or whatever. So you kind of know there's a chance, at least, that we may have to take the road the way that is not so pleasant. And I'm just sort of like, here he is coaching us up saying, like, I kind of thought we were going to have to do this. And it just, it relates a lot to life, I feel like, you know? Yeah. So he goes on to say, if it is a worse road than the... So this is Merry talking. If it is a worse road than the Redhorn Gate, then it must be evil indeed. But you had better tell us about it, right? You had better tell us all about it. Let us know the worst at once. So he wants to just get it all out in the open, all right? Gandalf says, the road that I speak of leads to the Mines of Moria. And at this point, only Gimli lifted his head, right? And he had a smoldering fire in his eyes.
Smoldering fire, just like the Balrog. How beautiful the destruction of Mordor.
Like, this is a long chapter, by the way. We're only doing the first little bit here because it's like there's so much. You know what I mean?
I feel like this might have been one that we glanced over too. I think maybe that we would have gone kind of quick. I don't remember how we handled this chapter, but I could see us maybe in those early days being like, let's get to the actual. You know what I'm saying? Like, we might have been tempted. Maybe not. Maybe it was a four-hour one because we did that too. But this is incredible that we're getting to, yeah, go back to this spot.
Right.
Wow.
Right. Now, now here's something that I kind of forget about. But it says that, so you see that smoldering fire in Gimli's eyes, but on all the others, a dread fell at the mention of that name. Even to the hobbits, it was a legend of vague fear, which I thought was like, wow.
Wow.
Even to them, this had some sort of like, there was something to the minds of Moria that caused them to be a little wary, you know?
Wow, man. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. Oh boy, here we go. Though it just gets more and more intense. We're only going a few more paragraphs, but it just like, it's going to tick up here real fast. So the road may lead to Moria, but how can we hope that it will lead through Moria, said Aragorn darkly. Now, hold on. I'm going to I only pulled this one little bit ahead. This is like later in the chapter, or maybe even as they are deeper in Moria when there seems to be no hope. So I'm going to jump ahead for a second and tell you something that Aragorn says later. So, you know, we all have doubt. Even Aragorn, he goes through this sort of a transformation here where he's talking about, he's questioning. The road may lead to Moria, but how can we hope that it will lead us through? Now, here we go.
Yeah.
He says this, quote, later on when they're in Moria and it seems like stuff is we're in the thick there we're on the way to the bridge, the bridge of Khazad Dûm. We're almost there. We're getting there. And Aragorn later will say this. He says, do not be afraid. I have been with him on many journeys, if never on one so dark. And there are tales in Rivendell of greater deeds of his than any that I have seen. He will not go astray. If there is any path to find, he has led us in here against our fears, but he will lead us out again at whatever cost to himself. So now earlier when they're going in, he's questioning because he wanted to go up on the mountain.
Dude, just this kind of stuff isn't written anymore.
No, it's not. This is legendary.
Nobody writes
this
shit
is legendary.
Like this anymore. Man, this is like, if this was written today, it would be like, well, if he feels like he must, then he might, but he probably won't. And I don't know. Everyone's suspicious and no one's good anymore and there's no divinity. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Like this, it gives you such a feeling of, I don't know if it's just like primal, like your core hope that there's like a superhero out there, but Gandalf.
Absolutely.
And hearing another superhero say Aragorn.
Yes.
It's like freaking Batman and Superman talking about it. It's just crazy.
It's crazy. It is crazy. And I thought, dang, okay, at first there's this little kind of like, what do we do? Do we go up on the mountain that seems like a good path to go and it makes a lot of sense? And Gandalf's like, let's try. Like, I mean, being wise, let's try it. Like let's see. I don't think so, but I'm not going to. He's not saying no. He's not saying, he's not closing those doors for the fellowship. They're open.
Right.
All pathways are open. He has an idea as to where we need to go, and it's about the journey and learning along the way. So they went up there, and it was, essentially Saruman said, "You shall not pass." Right? He said that. He kind of said it first. So all right, they go.
Wow.
They're going to go through. They're going to journey through the dark. Now here we go. Let's see. Oh boy. Okay. Boromir kind of goes on. I might skip this part, but he's talking about the name. It, you know, it's an ill omen. Nor do I see the need to go there. If we cannot cross the mountains, let us journey southward. Oh boy. Okay. Actually, hold on. There's something
Gap
here.
Gap of Rohan.
Gap of Rohan. Mm-hmm. This is very interesting. So where men are friendly to my people, taking the road that I followed on my way hither, or we might pass by and cross the Isen into, he mentions a couple other countries there. And then, so we come to Gondor from the regions nigh to the sea. So he's just talking about these different pathways, right?
The Gap of Rohan takes us too close to Isengard.
Oh man,
right.
Aragorn, it does. And this is huge. I was just reading it, and I was just thinking about things going on in life. So Gandalf says to him, so he responds to Boromir, and he says, "Things have changed since you came north, Boromir." Right? He says, "Did you not hear what I told you about Saruman? With him, I may have business of my own ere all is over." So before all is said and done, I may have business with Saruman, but he says this, but the ring must not come near Isengard. If it can by any means be prevented, the gap of Rohan is closed to us while we go with the bearer. So, okay, hold on a second. What I got from it, and as I'm reading it again, slowing down in the moment, protect the innocent, okay? Know the dangers. Start noticing the devils, where they are. Keep an eye on them. Don't go near them unless there is no other way. So, I mean, it's this, like, at all points, you have the power, like, essentially to, defy those demons in your life. Keep an eye on them. Stay away from them. And just to, because it's danger. It's absolute danger. Don't take something like our ring bearer, our hobbits, that close. There's no reason. Unless there is no other way. And then if there is no other way, then that's when I go back to that verse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And so then you got a little faith. You got to walk by, you know, I mean, it's just, you got to get after it, right? Got to be about your business. So, here we go. Man, we're almost done. Two more paragraphs. As for the longer road, so he was talking, Boromir referenced this longer route that they could take. He's like, we might spend a year in such a journey and should pass through many lands that are empty and harborless, yet they would not be safe. The watchful eyes of both Saruman and the enemy are on them. So here is, okay, and this is what Gandalf again saying this. When you came north, speaking to Boromir, when you came north, you were in the enemy's eyes only one stray wanderer from the south.
Yeah.
And a mattle. Uh-huh. Yeah. So essentially, he doesn't matter to the enemy. He's of small concern. His mind was busy with the pursuit of the ring, but you return now as a member of the ring's company, and you are in peril as long as you remain with us. The danger will increase with every league that we must go south under the naked sky. So this is like Boromir was not worth noticing until he took up the cause. The enemy has eyes on you. He's paying attention to you. And if he's doing that, then you are about your business. You're about your father's business.
You're preaching a sermon up in here, baby. Let's go.
So you got a purpose.
Is it Wednesday night or is it Sunday night? Because I'm feeling it, man.
I know.
Dang, babe.
unless when you're a member of the fellowship and you've taken up the cause, the enemy will see you. And you will then be on their radar. So if you feel that, and if you feel like the watchful eye of the enemy is on you, it's because you're about your business. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. The vision that's been given to you is yours, and you're seeing it through. And I'm just sort of like, it's all these little things. I'm just sort of like, holy smokes, man. Like just seeing that Boromir, just the way Gandalf is setting up is teaching and guiding and educating and showing them what they have to do. It is just wild. And so in the end, he basically he says that we need to vanish from sight. You know, we need to get away. We need to get to work. And we're not going to do this in some high place on the mountaintop. We're going to go in secret. We're not doing this for glory. This is not something that we're wanting glory and honor for. We're going down where nobody can see us. There'll be no, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
This is just this is necessary. You just have to do it. So,
and again, it's one of those things like a hobbit being the ring bearer is the last thing Sauron would expect. Them having the courage to go through Moria is the last thing he would expect. Yeah, you almost have to, way back at the beginning when Gandalf gave Frodo those two choices. One of them is not really a choice. You know what I'm saying? Like, one of them is it might feel like, okay, it's escaping for a little bit, but ultimately it's not if you really are wanting to defeat this evil, it is not a choice. Mm-hmm. You can't just go back and take the ring there and hope to hide and defend off, because it won't end. There's no possible good outcome. Whereas going out into possible peril, possible destruction, there is still that small chance. That somehow, that Hail Mary, where you could, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, God, dude, it's so rich.
It's, and I mean, like, these lines and, like noticing some of the imagery and all that stuff. Yeah, there is no choice here. You have to go forward. And Gandalf is the one who does, I believe, have the foresight to know what he's about to face. and he understands what he's going in here, and that he's going to fall, right? Supposedly to his death.
I want to ask you, this as a Gandalf fan, do you think that he has any kind of, especially like reading more about, you know, like reading the Valaquenta is the next thing we're getting to in the Silmarillion, and about the Valar and the Maiar, and do you think that he has, because there's a bunch of crazy stuff that they talk about Olorin, right?
Yeah.
Who is Gandalf, and they talk about how he would kind of walk amongst the elves and sow wisdom into their ears, and they didn't even realize where it came from, and that he was like almost like this angelic figure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, so to have that, he had that connection to what we feel like is missing in the Lord of the Rings, like that connection to all these great spirits and powers in Middle Earth that are, you know, personified in these beings. Do you think that like he's channeling some of that and knowing what's coming, or knowing like, you think he's getting like a, like when he says he, I don't know, like you think he's getting messages where it's like, you got to go here,
bro.
It's gonna kill you, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But all good. Like we got your back. Because that's one of the things that he's so mysterious, right? When he goes into those meditative states, or he goes into silence, I always wonder, like, what's he thinking about? Okay. What's he connecting with? Like a Jedi with the Force. You know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you something, brother. Yeah. Listen, okay. So they're going, 1,000%. There's a scripture my father often quotes, which is, God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Gandalf is clothed in a weak man's body, in an old, fragile, frail body. He's a guide by the side, and he's come in, and he doesn't have that grand, angelic sort of big presence, and he's almost his powers are limited. He's not meant to be fully, you know, I don't know, cloaked in all of his power and radiance and all that. That's not his role here. That's not the fight. That's otherwise. Bring on all the Maiar and the Valar and come back in here and just whoop all, you know, just whoop Sauron around. You know what I mean? Just take him out. But instead, this was a time for men and elves and so on. So he comes in and he is guided. I'm sorry, I keep quoting the scriptures here, but as they're going into, this is a journey through the dark, and as they go through the Valley of the Shadow of Death, they're in the Mines of Moria, surrounded by the death of all of these dwarven lords, right? And he's going in here, and he said, I will fear no evil, like Aragorn said, I will bring, like he brought us in against our fears, right?
So
he's coaching them through all of this, and so it's like an inferno, right? What's the famous Dante's Inferno, where you're going through, and levels this is and this is what Gandalf has to go through, what they have to go through, and it is just. Wow. It's wild. And the only reason I thought of all these scripture verses is because of God's water in the beginning and they were drinking it.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And I thought, man, they are, hold on. And I just started
thinking.
Is that
something we called it, or is that something that's it's called in there?
I just came up with, I don't know.
I feel like we said that before.
I might have. I don't even know.
Is that what it means?
Because it's from, it was given to them from, it's from Valinor, essentially.
Okay, that's right. Yeah.
Cordial.
Gatorade. We should call it Gatorade.
Gatorade.
Get some shirts.
Oh, man. But, dude, I just thought, and what really struck me, and where I was like, I didn't know where I was going to land in this chapter or what I was going to get out of it. But then, I mean, that line, first I'm like, wait, what is that again? What is that drink that they're all passing around? I was like, oh, shoot, that's the thing. And then right after that, it says when they had eaten some food, he called a council. And I don't know, man. Yeah, I started thinking of like scripture verses, and I started thinking of like this journey, and I started looking at what Aragorn was saying and the guidance, and so some of the imagery were like you said, and I have it underlined. The gray light was waning fast, man. Right? And his time is coming to an end, and he's guiding them through here, and it's just like
also that whole play on the light and him being a servant of the secret fire.
Yeah. Yes.
And dude. Then you've got the whole light aspect of you're talking about like an inferno and a furnace, and I'm thinking about like the reforging of Anduril, which Aragorn is now carrying with him, like a sword that was broken. And you think about like the process of, I mean, I don't know, but I'm a smith, so someone down the line, you know, would have known in my DNA anyway, like the process it takes to reforge something or to you know, to build something out of metals and all that stuff, that it's like a, I mean, I know just from watching freaking the Mountain Men of History Channel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you strike that thing in the wrong way and it could explode. Like
right,
it's not,
right.
It's a dangerous, it's dangerous. A dangerous process to like meddle with that kind of stuff. And And so cool. Even that being mirrored just in, or being kind of like a metaphor, like the reforging of a sword.
Yeah,
the darkness and the fire that you have to go through, the pain, the potential for disaster, to come out on the other end with something beautiful and whole and like purposeful too. Like, you know, you think about metals before, they're just these raw elements, and how we can turn those things into objects of beauty, but how the process is something you would look at and go, that's kind of. That's kind of gross. That's ugly. Like, that's kind of yucky. I don't want to do that.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like, the same thing with, I think the same thing with, like, farming even. Like, you get this little seed, and then you got to go out and you got to get dirty, right? Crops are being brought in right now, right? It's harvest time all across America, all across lots of parts of the world, but it's autumn. You know, the fall harvest is coming in, and that's, like, you get something beautiful from some really dark, unpleasant. Yeah, process.
Yeah, it's not grandiose. It's not shiny and all pretty and everything. Yeah, there's something. Yeah. It's earthy. It's raw, and through that whole process, we're gonna growth happens, right? And we're reforged, like you're saying. And it's crazy. Aragorn is this sword, essentially, right? He's this. I mean, he's sword of the morning, for crying out loud. He is like he's rolling through here. And he's gonna come out on the other end and lead this company. So it's just to me. And I just stopped right there because then they go into voting and they just kind of they go into a vote as to whether they're going to actually make the move or not. And that's the sort of the end of Gandalf's council right there. But I thought, daggone.
Dang, dude.
Daggone. He was telling us stuff about Boromir, you know, and then who he was before he got to be a part of the Fellowship. And now he has this purpose. And now the enemy's eyes are on you. You can't go back the way that you came.
Oh, dude.
All this stuff. And then the stuff that like Aragorn is sort of going back and forth, and then, you know, it's almost like, you know, he's a wizard. Gandalf he's not braggadocious or anything or whatever. He lets people kind of come to these own their own conclusions, and then Aragorn is this leader that sort of says, I can recognize wisdom. I see wisdom here. Yeah. And then later on, he's like, man, this guy brought us in here even though we all were afraid, and he's going to pay the ultimate price. He's going to be the light. He's going to show us. He's going to lead us, be the example. And gosh dang, man.
And it kind of like it reminds hobbits like us and the actual hobbits that he's not just this gentle, little magic trick, trifle wizard, like that he is this, you know, that's what, he enjoys that. He loves the simplicity of that. He loves to just, you know, hang out with halflings and amuse them and amuse himself and, you know, seem unalarming. But the fact that, and it's Aragorn who's like, you don't even, because I mean, there are times where, you know, Pippin will say things and just joking around about, like, or even Bilbo in the past where he's, you know, questioning what kind of, I mean, is like in the films, I think about saying, are the other wizards, great beings? Or are they more like you? Kind of a deal.
He's
underrated, underestimated all the time. And
for sure.
And it takes someone like Aragorn who's got like this, he has that kind of where Gandalf has the guise of an old man. That's not Aragorn's like mode of transportation. He's a I don't know. He's like a Hummer. You know what I'm saying? Like he's the tumbler in Dark Knight. Like he's a beast. And so for him to be like, you guys don't even know. Like I bow to Gandalf. You know what I'm saying?
I know. Well, and this is that's what I love about him is because when you read The Hobbit 2, there's almost like some mockery in terms of like, how many dragons have you slayed? You know what I'm saying? Well, I mean, that's the film. But I mean, as you get into, like, when I think of Gandalf, I think, no, he's not going to show all of his raw power just to knock out some orcs and do different things. That's not his role. But when Satan himself shows up, right? And that's the moment where he can now just unleash. Now I got to bring everything. And I will bring everything I have against this foe, because this is something that should have stayed buried, that is dark, that is evil, and it needs to go back to the abyss. And this is not a natural thing. This is not a natural enemy that should be. These things were imprisoned. They should be sent away. They should not be awakened. The purpose of the Valar was to put an end to that war of power that they went to. So now this thing has been awakened. And Gandalf has to put it right. And this is the only time I think that he uses that, truly uncloaked, just powerful. Just like, boom, I'm bringing everything I got as Gandalf the Grey. So I love it, man. So it's the setup to the whole thing. And that's as far as we're going to go with it. But I just got so fired up reading it, man.
Dude, so what's your biggest takeaway from that? Like, what does that do for you? I mean, other than just getting you pumped up and the connections to...
Well,
just
okay.
Kind of like spiritual warfare, or just battling. We all got demons we're fighting, right?
The self-detect connection for me is that like I often you get to a point where, I mean, really, it's like, I don't know. You almost want to. It's like when we start doing things, we start moving, and we start trying to like, I don't know, better ourselves or work on ourselves or do something for our families or our friends or whatever. It's almost, and we see this all the time. It's like the wisdom is to just get about your business, go underground for a little bit, go through a journey through the darkness, go through the strife, the pain or whatever it is, and the trials and the tribulations. And on the other side of that is going to be some earnings, some gain, some growth and development or whatever. And I'm just sort of like, wow. I mean, and that's what I was thinking about. I mean, that's just, and I often too, then I saw the whole piece with like Boromir just going about his business and going up and getting involved in this council and then saying, there's a cause here and I'm going to take up with this cause. And when you do that, and when you start to declare yourself and you say, I'm with you, right? You're marked. You're now marked. You're a great captain of the light. Yeah. Even though he does what he does, he is now stepped up and he's a great captain, and the enemy has its eye on you. So
marked.
I don't know.
Yeah. Like you said, like a marked man. I think the thing that blows me away, like, cause I don't know why, I don't know if it's like a movieism or it becomes more apparent in the books, but like, when you think of these stories, it's easy to remember like the highlights, to remember moments of victory, to remember like times in the Shire.
Yeah.
The the moment's full of light, right?
Yep.
But when you read this book and you actually try to put yourself in that place, in that situation, and you think about how hopeless that would feel, mm-hmm. like that whole play with like hopelessness and finding hope, and yeah. how like one of Aragorn's names is Estelle, which means hope, and you know, I give hope to men, I keep none for myself, that mantra, and like it's just like, to me, I think to myself, it's easy. I think what Tolkien did was obviously genius, but for me, the most incredible thing he did was to like make a great epic, but to do it in like a very unglorified, realistic manner. And that's why, yeah. I mean, we've talked about it countless times, but that's why these stories only grow with, I mean, they yeah. verge on like spiritual texts, man.
I know.
Like when we read yeah. them now, like it draws us to something greater, to something bigger, to something higher. The allusions that are made in The Lord of the Rings. I just think too, like, I felt the same, like when I think I brought this up a couple recordings ago when we were talking about reading. Yes, it's when we were traveling with Lord of the Rings, and how I brought up like reading to Viggo in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just crazy, because it never hit me before, because those were easily, mm-hmm. and we definitely have like dark days every week, you know what I mean? Yeah. There's time, yeah. moments of darkness that before were unimagined, right?
Yeah.
But never a string of just like uncertainty, I guess, would be the only thing, and like trying to find hope when it felt like no quote unquote good news was coming through the door. And you know, just like just like the fact that reading these stories made me feel like I didn't feel alone, because I was there with Sarah and I was there with Viggo, like,
yeah,
that. But there was something in my spirit, like some kind of a spirit walker, or like a soul companion,
yeah,
that has no name and has no, I don't know what the name is, but you know what I'm saying, like it wasn't like a specific being, it was like this comforting hug that was like, this story is real,
yeah,
because of the world you live in, like right. this stuff is giving, almost like giving a name to emotions you can't describe.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, that's what a chapter like this does for me too, or this moment in Middle Earth. I think to myself, dude, we want to play Aragorn, we want to play Gandalf, like my girls do it all the time.
Yeah,
they're in that backyard, Charlotte's Aragorn, Winnie's Legolas, and Ruth is Frodo, mm-hmm. without a doubt. Every single time. And yeah. We all did that. We picked up sticks and we played with, even you and I, at like the age of 15 and 16, we were playing.
Still doing it. Yeah.
Still doing it. I mean, honestly, like, yeah, 100%. When Mike Charles came out,
you drew swords together.
We drew swords together. Man. We were damn near had a fight, South and North, Civil War of Middle Earth. But, you know, like, to put yourself in those moments.
Yeah.
And you're like, that would not be a fun situation to be in. That would be like when we think about difficult times in our lives and we're like, we feel stuck in a rut. Like you and I were talking before we got rolling, feeling stuck in a rut, feeling a yeah. funk, feeling like things that shouldn't bother us are really getting to us.
Yep.
Where's the light? Like, what does anyone see? Does anyone appreciate?
Yep.
Do I even give a crap about myself or what's going on, like the things
yeah,
that I used
yeah.
to care about? How do I get back to that person? There's always that ghost of the past too, right?
Yeah,
your younger self, who probably wasn't better than you are now, but in your mind,
right.
in some cases probably, like in my case definitely, but like, you know, but you think like, how do I get back to that person I used to be, that person who like was a kinder person, was more patient, was gentler, was less jaded,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you get into those funks, and it's like, that's what this chapter was about. Like they,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
it gives you some comfort. And I don't know if it's because you know how it ends up, and there's that hope there of like, okay, well, everything kind of ends up somewhat okay, even though there's wounds that they have to deal with.
Yeah.
Or if it's literally just like sorrow or misery loves company kind of a thing, where it's like, okay, most of this book that we read, the characters are in a crisis state, and so they're like some of my fictional heroes.
Yeah,
and if my fictional heroes can handle crisis like that, then I sure as hell can. And
yeah,
what would Aragorn do? You know what I mean? What would Gandalf do? It's like
Dude, that's what. So the one line here where, I mean, out of, I think it's a flash forward into either like a later chapter, but when he said, how can you stand there as Aragorn and say, be not afraid, do not be afraid? Like, yeah. When you look around and realistically you're like, well, hold on a second, how in the world can you say that? So he seems like he's in a moment doing like, and we want to do what he does there. And he does it. And so you get inspired by that, and you're like, wow. But he didn't always do that. And then also the hobbits, they grow and develop. And in the beginning of this chapter, they're sort of like, are we going back to Rivendell?
Yeah.
But then they know in their hearts that they can't. I mean, it's sort of like, it'd be nice, but I mean, we and it's okay to think about it. It's even okay to have, Lottie says this all the time, it's okay to have those feelings, actually.
Oh,
it's,
hell yeah. Dude, you know what? You know? I was just thinking about that, man, because I tell the girls all the time when they're like, I'm afraid, Daddy, I'm afraid, I'm scared. And your reaction is to say, I don't think when we hear that from characters, I don't think they actually mean don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. I think what they really mean is don't give in to fear.
Yeah, yeah.
I think a better way to say don't be afraid, because that just, I like Lottie saying, it's okay to feel those things. It's okay to deal with that. Because
right, right.
What I always tell the girls is instead of that reaction, I've started saying, you can't be brave if you're not afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
If you're not afraid of something, then you can't really have courage, because that's the definition of courage, is to do something in the face of fear. Right.
Right.
And so, that's just a wild thing to think about, like, you know, the trick isn't not being afraid. The trick is not giving in to fear. It's not like surrendering to fear.
Yeah.
And it's, again, like these characters, we see them do that every single time. It's not that they're not afraid. It's that they don't, you know, I mean, think about, like, we bring it up all the time just because it's such a, like, a poignant moment. But like when Sam decides to see it through, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it happens time and time and time again.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And in real life, you know, to not be afraid to, like, you know, so in school, we're having to, like, title, this is not a scary thing at all. It would have given me stress before, I think, even like a couple years ago, before, like, certain, like, difficulties, like, we went through that make you stronger. But, like, little things like we're being pulled to sub for teachers. And sometimes you find out, like, as you're walking into the building.
Yeah.
And you might not even necessarily have ever taught that grade before, that class. Some people, bothers them.
For sure.
And they're like, oh my God, this is the hardest thing I've ever. And it might be for them. Literally feel that, because I can imagine it feeling that way. But it's like, and there's that temptation to be like, oh, to just sit there and complain and to project that it's going to be, like, just an uncomfortable and annoying day.
Yeah.
Or you can just be like, why am I going to let this bother me? Mm-hmm. I have a job. I have a group of kids that I get to be with all day. And I've got someone who's laid out plans for me.
Mm-hmm.
What's the problem? Like, what is the problem here? Like, this is, as a teacher, you're there to serve public. Like, you're there to serve people. So just like those little things where it's like you could give in to fear or give in to pessimism, or you fill in the blank, right? Give in to those things.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
or you could not.
Exactly. Yeah. On any job that every day, small, mundane task, whatever it is, and we give in to the negative, and we start to kind of gripe and complain, and it's tough. The other thing is too, you notice, and I know people out there listening know this too, you can look around your circles, and some people do it far more, some people do it far less, and here's the thing, the people who do it far more, one day, maybe 5-10 years from now, they grow and they figure out, dang, I used to be so, like, I couldn't see the light, I griped so much, and I'm always the optimist trying to say, like, in this chapter, for example, at the beginning of it, Gandalf is allowing people to grow, allowing them to say, let's go up on the mountain. I ain't gonna say anything yet. Like, that's okay. I mean, I'm just here to kind of
absolutely.
And that's so. But you're right. Like, Like oftentimes, especially here's the thing too, when you and I, for example, like when you've gone through life, or we're veteran teachers, for example, you know, I hear that from, because I definitely, we do this, a similar thing at school too. And you hear it from certain teachers, and you also hear it sometimes from the veteran teachers. You're just like, it's perspective. And you're like, guys, hold, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's where their focus is. Their focus has determined their reality. I mean, they are, that's some Qui-Gon Jinn quote, right? Your focus determines your reality. They're so focused on the negative there that they're not seeing all the benefits that you just listed. And some people, regardless of age or whatever, journey, I don't know, spiritual journey, whatever, they're just not, they're not there yet. Their Gandalf hasn't come yet. And so that's us, though. That's you and I, though, now picking to be more optimistic.
Yeah.
If we can. But,
Like, They've turned back to Rivendell.
You know what
I mean? Like that. I think that's maybe the decision. Like, you got to decide: are you going back to Rivendell, or are you going through Moria, or whatever path that you have to take? And I just think like the one isn't really. It's right as I mean, it's not really a choice. It's an illusion of a choice. Like you think that it's going to somehow end up okay going back there, but it's just delaying the inevitable. Like Gandalf said, like it'll actually make things worse. Than if we go and fail on the battlefield. So I don't know. I mean, like definitely, there are definitely days where I go to Rivendell. Right. I mean, like that's not what I'm saying. But like to try and I was just talking to the only other male teacher in the building today. We kind of like talk and can chat it up. Not that I can't talk, but it's, you know what I'm saying. Like it's just nice to be with someone who's my similar age, who is similar interests, things like that, and also who's another guy that, you know, I can talk to, because that is important, like that male bonding, female bonding, whatever, like being with people who are similar to you, to just kind of discuss things, you can let your guard down a little bit, connection, and you feel a little bit, you can make yourself feel vulnerable so that you. You know, you can grow that way as well. But I was just talking to him about God, I just left. Absolutely, just I don't even remember what I was going to say there. But it just
man, we were just talking.
It went to Rivendell. But the point being, it was something to that effect. How we were just talking about, like, I don't know, like why are some things such a big deal? I can't remember exactly what it was. It's left me. It's a Bilbo moment. Anyway, you know what I'm saying.
I do. Well, I know what you're saying, because I have those conversations too, like with people, just about, I mean, it depends on the day. Some, like you said, some days, I mean, how many days are you picking to head back to Rivendell? Ask yourself that.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Well, okay. It just came back to me that we were talking about, you know, because he said the same thing. I'm like, you know, I used to be, I feel like as I've gotten into my 30s, I'm trying to figure out, like, almost backtrack and be like, well, how did I manage things? You know, obviously I had less things going on, but like how would I feel like I was a better human being overall? And I said, at least I still have this like self-evaluation thing going on.
Yeah.
Where when you do go back to Rivendell for a day, you're like, you piece of crap.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. You know you shouldn't have done that. Why'd you do that? Like, come on. That's the wrong direction. And but then also having that other side, that Gandalf side, where it's letting you grow, or let whoever.
Having kindness, for yourself.
And being like, oh, yes. And being next time, remember this feeling. Remember how you felt when you took a shortcut.
Right.
Next time, make the right decision, or the decision that makes you feel like you're doing the right thing or whatever.
Right. Okay. For example, because they took Aragorn's path doesn't mean the quest is lost. You know, in these stories, what I love is there's always hope,
always
even when
through.
They make like wrong turn. They still just never give up, never stop,
you know,
never quit.
That's Sarah's favorite quote from Magician's Nephew. I don't know if you remember that when they go on Fledge, when Diggory and Polly go on Fledge, and Aslan's giving them that like final direction.
Yeah.
And he says, look for the valleys and the low places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that there are the green fields, that there always be a way through.
Yeah. So
there will always be a way
through.
And I mean, that's something she's referenced a lot over the last months and years. And it's just like, I thought about that the other day. Sometimes it'll just pop up to me when I'm feeling kind of hopeless and I get like little streaks of like darkness and I don't think you could probably call it proper depression. So I don't want to like use that term to minimize.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, you could say clinical. Yeah.
Well, like, I mean, just like blue sessions of blue, I guess.
Yeah.
Day, like, you know, a couple days, weeks, whatever. And like you said, like you were talking about the funk and no real.
Yeah, it's.
It's like, why? Why is this? Why am I feeling this way? Why can't I snap out of it?
Explain it.
Exercise.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You're like, I don't even know what I'm feeling. I don't even.
Yeah.
But how that analogy has popped into my head. And even if it's just a little spark of hope for a minute, because it almost kind of surprises you. Like, that's what I love about these stories, too. Like, you'll remember these moments out of, they're so deep in that subconscious that every once in a while they'll fire. Right.
Yeah.
From the movie or from the book, these little moments will fire up out of nowhere.
Right.
And for no real reason other than you're just trying to find something to cling to. And you're like, ah, there it is. Okay.
Right.
All
right.
There's a little warmth. There's a little bit of light in the dark. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So I love that these stories can do that they can help us in real
Same.
Life. It's incredible.
Same, I know. And and just in the beginning of that, we've so many little connections that were inspirational, and it's just a moment, friends. It's just a moment in Middle
just
Earth.
A moment.
That's all it is. So.
That God's water, amen.
Get
Come
that
on.
Clean syrup in you, boy.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.